pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday. Friday, it's finally Friday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Hit us up there. We'll respond to your text. Coming up in about 30 minutes from now, April Murray Fogle from Alabama today. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we got our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So a lot of reasons for you to stick around, stay right where you are. But joining us now, it's always a pleasure to bring on this next gentleman. He's going to be in a competitive primary contest on March 5th, but always welcome on this program. It's always been good to this show, Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. I trust you are the same.
I'm doing well, all things considered, but it doesn't matter. Let's start here. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the new speaker, Mike Johnson, and how that's going. I mean, I know it's just been a little bit, but what's the early prognosis?
Mike has brought us together. I'm beginning to see some cracks right now, which, you know, the honeymoon's wearing off a little bit. Mike has brought a totally different view of the speakership. I mean, Mike has really excited the Christian community because most people don't know, but Mike's a Southern Baptist minister. That's what he does. That's his weekend job. He and his wife have a ministry that they work with couples, married couples primarily. So, I mean, he's just a great guy. He's got a great story. He's as common of a person as I would like to think I am. I mean, what you see in Mike is exactly what you get, whether it's on TV or in a room in private. I mean, he's just a very special individual. And people are attracted to that, and certainly his faith is the biggest driver in that attraction. And, of course, that faith has confused our friends in the press. Washington don't quite know how to read it. I'm excited. Everyone seems to be very pleased with him. But we still have a handful of troublemakers, and we're going to have to see how he can actually, you know, deal with them and handle them and mass manage, 217 Class A personalities. So, but I'm excited to have Mike in where he's at. Really am.
Well, one of the things that kind of concerned me throughout this whole ordeal, Congressman, was, all right, if you have a speaker's race, an impromptu speaker's race as you had, what happens to all these investigations surrounding Biden? I mean, the Comer and Jordan stuff, and then, you know, whatever else. I mean, the potential for impeachment, all of that seemed to be kind of, I mean, playing with house money there when the McCarthy ouster, all that was put on the table. Do you feel like that's still on track from where it was pre-Speaker ouster?
Yes, I think Jim Jordan and Comer both have done a great job of keeping that on track. I talked to Jordan. Jordan called me, you know, when he was in the Speaker's race. He was running for it. And I got to talk to Jim quite a while. And that was my biggest fear of supporting Jim Jordan, because I knew he was more than capable of winning and doing the job. And I talked to him about that. I said, Jim, you know, if you get elected, what's going to happen to these investigations? And he went through play by play. Obviously, I wasn't the first one to say that to him. But he talked to me about who he had stepping up, who could take this over, who was going to keep pushing that. And the investigations weren't going to die. Now, for 3 weeks, our life got put through hell. I'm just telling you. Because we're sitting in rooms 12 and 15 hours a day, arguing over who's who going to be elected, arguing over who hates who and who did what to who 20 years ago. I mean, we went through every family squabble you could possibly think of. And then when I get back to my office or I get back to my apartment, I got to return phone calls to constituents who are mad because we can't get ourselves together. I mean, it was a frustrating 3 months. So for us to come out with a Mike Johnson, somebody that seems to have brought us all right back together, is pretty incredible. You got to believe in the system when you see something like that work. But I talked to Comer. I had some conversations with him that, Jeff, I'd love to share with you off air. I don't think it's the time to be talking publicly about a handful of things. Jordan is right back on track. You know, Jordan is Jordan. You're not going to change him. He's like a pit bulldog getting after stuff. So I think we're doing a good job of picking that up and running with the ball. I really do. Y'all are doing their job.
How much did you hear from folks in the district about all of this drama?
Everybody was just, I'd hear from everybody how disappointed, how embarrassed, you know, how disheartened they were with the Republican Party. But what I couldn't share with them, and I don't expect to get anyone to understand what I'm saying, what we did in that room is we worked out a lot of ill feelings. Because a lot of people in that room have supported other candidates that may have run against a candidate. We've got people that are in New York running on issues that there's no way they could be elected in South Alabama. What we're being elected here in South Alabama for, no way we could be elected in California or New York. So it's a huge change. Jeff, you're in politics. You make a living out of it. You understand it. The average voter goes, what do you mean that Republican supports partial abortion? They're a product of their district. I mean, you look at all the members in that room and you think, my gosh, this is like gumbo. There's one of everything in here. And that's what makes this the flavor. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to do. Doesn't mean you agree with them. But I think the biggest thing we got coming out of that meeting is we got a lot of feelings that went on to commend themselves. I think the people got the Republican Party got what they needed, which is a good, strong leader. But the people made darn sure I knew what they were thinking during that whole process. But since we got the leader, since everybody's had a chance to figure out a little bit or learn a little bit about Mike, those phone calls have stopped. They've stopped. Everyone seems to be happy. I was at an event last night. They were slapping me on the back, thanking me for Mike Johnson and some of the same people that was calling fussing at me. So it's an ugly process, just like any election. It's an ugly process. But when you get to the end, the whole goal is to get the best candidate. But you don't want to watch that sausage being made, that's for sure.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl, the 1st Congressional District, here on the program. Well, let's talk about the other big issue you're facing. 1st Congressional District, your opponent is also an incumbent congressman. You have just a monster of a district from Dothan to Dolphin Island. Early in these stages, how's it been getting around, getting to these new parts of the district, or what will be the district?
Well, so I'm blessed today. I'm getting ready to present a Bronze Star to a gentleman from Vietnam War, Charles Wilson. That will be my morning start, and I will finish up this afternoon in Dothan, Alabama. So, you just got to learn to leave earlier and plan on staying later. We don't have as much time as I was hoping we would have to work this campaign. Our schedule has just came out, and it's going to be primarily TV and radio. We've got maybe 3 weeks of campaigning we can do. So that's going to limit it even more. But, you know, I've been over the wire, Brad. I can't run on anybody but myself. And I've always used that phrase, I'm just Jerry. Just call me Jerry. And that got started because I had a bunch of Washington know-it-alls that tried to tell me I had to change this and change that and change this. And my response is, hey, I'm just Jerry. And I don't want to change that. I don't want to try to be somebody I'm not. So over in the Wiregrass, it has been very, very receptive to the people that I'm talking to because they don't want changes. They don't want a representative from the other side of the state. I get it. I understand it. I don't blame them, folks. The Mobile don't want a representative from Dothan or the other side. But we have to work with what we've got, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen the article today, but you taxpayers just paid $515,000 to have this district redrawn. that the federal government mandate we did. That's another topic for another day, but they've been very receptive. I've been meeting with all the elected officials. That's who I first started targeting in that district. I've got several of them, or many of them, are working with me up front and several behind the scenes. As we well know, you know, it's politics, you know, it's intertwined with every elected official. So I'm excited. I love going over there. I love the folks. You know, I've got peanuts, cotton, and helicopters in my district too. That's the three biggest issues that they have over there, are focus issues. We have so much in common, and those people are just they're very down to earth people, and I've enjoyed it. I mean, we stopped at an antique store in the middle of nowhere, and we spent 3 hours talking to the lady that owned the antique store, and all I was doing was walk around buying a handful of stuff for actually birthday presents. But it's those type of people that make America America. You know, they want to know who you are. They're curious. You know, they voted for that other candidate. They're curious who you are. When you can get people thirsty with that are actually interested, that's when you got to be yourself. That's where you can't be something you're not.
Well, beyond the obligatory propellers and peanuts and cotton aspects of it, tell me this, like, what do you hear when you're over there from these folks? Like, what are their concerns? What are they coming to you with?
Well, especially the elected officials are coming to me for they've read my background, the economic development stuff that I've certainly been a part of the team to put together. I mean, they're very hungry to find out more about that. How can they do it? How can they benefit from it? How can they encourage more companies come in and set up their businesses and create more jobs and, you know, a better way of life or better income for their constituents, which, you know, it obviously equates into, you know, a better life. And that has been the biggest driving factor, because right now they're not really supported with their leadership. Let me see how to rephrase that. Their leadership tries, but they're not getting a lot of help out of Washington. Katie Britt certainly has changed that. Katie has carried the torch for that entire region for a while. And Mike Rogers, when you talk about military, Mike's been down there working with the Fort Rutherford Fort. Nova said, I'll figure the name out one day. So they're thirsty to find out how can they take it to the next level. And that's just, you know, the economic development stuff, the job creation, and talking to these multi-billion-dollar-year companies like Walmart, you know, to come in and a distribution center and set stuff up. I mean, that's just kind of my forte. It just comes natural to me. And then I can turn right around and ride out to my peanut farmers and stand out by the tractor and chit-chat with them about their low harvest this year because of rain. So I'm really being... It's really been very positive over in Wiregrass. I'm excited from what I'm seeing, and it is so early. It is very, very early. So we'll just keep doing what we're doing, and I'll just be Jerry, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, last thing, and you say it's early, but I mean 4 months to primary day, and if you don't have another candidate, there won't be a runoff. I mean, that's hurry up offense, right?
That's 117. That's 117 days in this race left. But Jeff, you and I are watching this, and the folks that are politically minded. But most constituents, most people aren't going to pay any attention to it till after New Year's, and that's when it'll really heat up. And that's when the radio and the TV, and you know, we try to get out and try to make as many stumps as we can and speeches. And but right now it's all ground game, putting things together. I started my ground game a month ago. It's not like I just started. I don't think my opponent has even got people hired and put in place yet. We've had this done over a month, and I've had people in Dothan all day yesterday working, and I'll be there tonight and be there myself for the next couple of days. But I still can't forget my base here. I mean, the people that brought me to the dance, which is Mobile County, Baldwin County, which is huge. If you look at the numbers, that's 34% of the total vote base right there in Baldwin County. And don't forget Escambia County. Escambia County could be a huge player in this race because you're talking about 6.5 to 7%. You got two incumbents that are running against one another. I mean, 6 points is a lot of numbers. And you know this, Jeff, it becomes a game of odds. So I've got to pick off as much as I can in the Wiregrass, but I still got to let the folks know that put me in office 3 years ago that, hey, I'm here for them too. So it's a balancing act, but I'm excited. I love a good campaign. I can really show myself and let people know who I am. That's unlike being on the floor and being one of 435 members. You're just another ant in the anthill. Here, I can love on people, and they can love on me, and we can plant. I learn more on a campaign trail than I do in Washington, D.C., I promise you that. I want to know what the people want in the field, in my district. I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know what they're angry about. That puts fuel in my tanks. That sends me back to Washington. That tells me what I need to be focused on.
Congressman, folks want to check out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. www.jerrycarfelcongress. And would love you to come on, sign. Just get online, get our newsletter sent to you. And we certainly would appreciate your vote come March 5th. That's super juicy. Everybody's got to get out and vote. So there's going to be a lot of good, strong candidates on that we need to get on to the next level. So it's going to be important for the Republicans to turn out and turn out very strong in this next election, which is March the 5th.
Congressman, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Take care, Jeff.
All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.